for God so loved the world, all of us, you and me. He loved us so much, he sent his only Son, Jesus, the firstborn of creation, sent to take our place, to bear our burden, to suffer our consequence. We were far from God, but God didn't want to be far from us. Jesus came to bring us home. As a prodigal returns to their father, so too could we return to our Creator. A simple plan with just one requirement: belief. For whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have life. Life eternal. At the very heart of God is love. Indescribable, unrelenting, unstoppable love. That love shines a light, guiding us home. For God so loved the world.
Well, good morning and welcome, everybody. Morning, good morning. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us today. And with the beautiful day, summer, and the nice weather starting in, we got some of our families on vacation. Some of them are overseas. Some of them are trying to work on some paperwork that they're trying to work to get things going better for them. So I'm going to encourage you to keep on praying for those families who are right now in other countries, getting their stuff fixed, some of the paperwork. But also, yesterday it was Pastor Roy's birthday. So why don't we just give him a hand? Happy birthday, Roy. Don't invite me to ride those 70 miles or whatever that is. He's gonna write his age. I know that. He's the one that put that in me before. And when I did the 53 miles, it was a big challenge. So we want to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles and, open up your Bibles in Psalm 139. If you don't have a Bible, we want to encourage you to, let us know in the welcome center in the back. We will get you a Bible. If not, you don't have to worry about it. The verses are going to be on the screen. But I want to encourage you also to get your notes out of your bulletins. You have your notes there, and the verses are there too, so that we can look at the Word of God this morning to as we're going through these series that we started last the beginning of the month on God's unstoppable love. The unstoppable love of God. Let me ask you a question. And of course, just answer this question to yourself. But let me ask you a question. And be honest with yourself. Have you ever found yourself looking for perfect love? Have you ever found yourself looking for perfect love? And when I mean looking for perfect love, you know how people can be so picky when they're looking for love, right? They can be very picky. They have a list of things. They have some expectations. They have a list of expectations looking for the perfect love. I don't know if that has ever happened to you at any point in life. But if you're honest with yourself, I'm sure that you would never say, "Oh, I'm looking for the perfect love." But in a sense, we always do. In a sense, we always do, because we want people to love us. We thirst for love. We want people to love us, but a lot of times we don't know how to love back. But we do want people to love us, and we want to make sure that we find that perfect love that we are always looking for. We look here, we look there, we try this, we try that, and a lot of times experience disappointment. Time after time, we live in a world where all we want to do is find love that makes us feel good, that makes us feel complete, that makes us feel happy. And sometimes we search in the wrong places, and that is the biggest problem that we have. We search for love in the wrong places, and it only gives us this, we look in temporary relationships, we look in some, material things. A lot of times we say, oh, you know what, I love my house, I love my car, until your car breaks down, right? So it's conditional love, right? So it's not perfect love. But we look for love everywhere. We live in a world where the pursuit of love is fervent and persistent. And in that effort, we often find ourselves searching in all the wrong places. Often we do that. And so often we don't realize that repeatedly seeking perfect love in the wrong places can only lead to a cycle of disappointment and disillusions. A lot of disappointments. You know, this is not what I thought. This is not what I was expecting. You know, it's our expectations are not met a lot of times. And a lot of times we don't realize that when we're looking for that love, most of the time among human beings, that love is conditional. That love is conditional. And why does this happen? Why do we have so many disappointments? Because we look for love in the wrong places. The wrong places, the wrong people, the wrong things. When love is right in front of us, we look for it in the wrong places. When love is around us, we still look in the wrong places. When love is trying to let us know, I'm here. I'm here for you, because John chapter 4, verse 8 says, because God is love, perfect love. We can only find perfect love in the love of God. That's why when you're looking for love and you have all these expectations and you have a list of things, you want to make sure that that person that you want to love and that person that you're expecting to love you back meets those expectations. But that's not the way God loves us. That's not the way God loves us. And so we talked about the first week on this series about the unstoppable love of God. Nothing will stop the love of God. Then we talked about humble love last week. And we talked about how important it is that if we love other people the way God loves us and show His humbleness through the Lord Jesus Christ, that also the way we love other people, we are going to do it with humbleness. That if we are humble, we will love others with that humble love. And today, I want to talk to you about finding that perfect love. Perfect love. So, perfect love, we see it all over the Scripture. We see it all over the Scripture. We just don't talk much about it. We talk about love, but we don't talk about perfect love. When we read Psalm 139... we cannot deny the perfect love of God for us. The perfect love that we look so much in other places becomes real when we read Psalm 139. When we read Psalm 139, we realize and we see the perfect love of God, because when we read this psalm, you will realize how can somebody love a person despite of knowing every single detail in their life. So this is our expectations when we're looking for love. We want to get to know a person, every single detail of the person. And I can assure you, if before you get married or before you get into a relationship, if you knew every single detail about that person, if you knew that person to perfection, you would most likely not fall in love with that person. Because love is a choice. And you will say, you know what? Yeah, well, maybe I'm not going to deal with this. I'm willing to put up with that, but not with this. And this is what I do when I do premarital counseling. When I do premarital counseling, I always tell people, are you willing to live with those mistakes or imperfections of the other person? Are you willing to live with that for the rest of your life? And then there's quietness in my counseling session, right? There's not a lot of talk after that. But God's perfect love is so amazing that even though He knows every single detail from each one of us, He still loves us. I mean, how can somebody do that? I mean, look at what Psalm 139 says. The first six verses. David is writing this psalm. And he says, "You have searched me. You have searched me, Lord. And you know me. You know when I sit. You know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word, it's on my tongue. You, Lord, know it completely. You hand me behind and before. And you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." I want you to notice in these first six verses, David is basically telling God, "God, look at what he says in verse five. He says, "You hand me," in other words, you wrap me around, you hug me, you hold me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Even though, he says in the first four verses, "You know me really well." What does he mean by that? What does he mean, "You know me really well"? What he means by that is, you know my mistakes. You know my sin. You know my imperfections. You know what I think. You know what I do. There is nothing that I can hide from you. Would you still love a person if you can see everything in them? Would you still love a person? Most likely, most people will say, no. Can you imagine if there was a possibility for you to put a little camera in your brain, right? I put a couple of cables. Technology has improved a lot. So I'll put a couple of cables and we'll project on this screen everything you're thinking. What if we project everything you thought about it this week? And your wife, your husband, or your parents, your kids will see what you have been thinking this week. Would you be in trouble? Would you be willing to love a person once you know all the deepest secrets in their hearts and in their mind? Despite of that, God knows every single thing about us, and He still chooses to love us. That's why you hand me, O Lord, He says. And you hand me behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. I mean, when we look for perfect love, there's no way we're going to find perfect love, because love to human beings is conditional. Love is conditional. What do you bring to the table? That's what people say nowadays. Okay, you bring this to the table. This is what I bring to the table. What do you bring to the table? You know, I mean, what am I willing to give? What am I willing to receive? You know, if I do this, you should do that. So love is conditional. We have conditions. We have expectations. But the love of God, even though He knows every single detail about us, He doesn't turn His back on us. That is perfect love, man. I tell you one thing. If we can experience that love, if we can live according to that love as human beings, life will be different for us. He doesn't just say that, but in verse 7, he says, you know what, despite of all the imperfections, the sin, despite of all the things, I try to run away from God, he says. But in verse 7, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Your love is so perfect that your love is going to come after me. Your love is so perfect, you're going to come after me. Where can I hide from where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. So when I'm ashamed, because I made a mistake, because I sinned, because I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, because when I'm ashamed, I will try to hide, but your love is so amazing that your love is not going to leave me alone. And God keeps on looking for us no matter where we are. Not that He looks for us in a sense. We say that so we can understand as human beings. As human beings, we need to understand that. But He's there. No matter where we go, He's there. If I say, surely the darkness, I'm going to go high. I'm going to go get, you know, I'm going to go high and I'm going to get into the darkness and I will hide. I will hide me and the light become nigh around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. So Lord, no matter what I do, you will see me. You will know where I am. You will know what I'm doing. You will know what I'm thinking. The night shine like a day for you, Lord, for darkness is as light to you. Now, would you be able to love a person if you knew all these things? If you knew everywhere they go, everything they think, every single thing they feel. If you knew what they were going to say before they even say it. I mean, sometimes we do assume, right, what somebody's going to say and we interrupt them. But would you still love that person? In this psalm, David is expressing his heart. He's saying, despite of me, Lord, despite of me, despite of my mistakes, despite of my imperfections, my sin, God knows me so well that I cannot hide from Him and He still loves me. And when David wrote this psalm, it has been said by different commentators that he was going through a time of adversity in his life. That's not rare. David went through a time of adversity very often for different reasons, especially because of his own mistakes, because of his own decisions. He was reaping what he was sowing. And he was going through some tough times, some commentator says. Circumstances that were around, surrounding him were not the best of the circumstances. And at this point, because he had made so many mistakes, because he had failed God so many times, at this point, he needed to remember that despite of all his mistakes, God knew him so well, he just needed to find security in the fact that God loved him despite of who he was. A lot of times we get rejected by people. We get rejected by people because their love is not perfect. We get rejected by people if they don't like what you do, if they don't like what you say, if they don't like how you act. People many times will reject us. But despite of that, David knew that his security, that sense of security that he needed, he can only get it from God. And he says, Lord, you know me so well. I don't even need to hide anything from you because even if I try, you already know it. You know, I was reading something about how people hide things from each other. Just to pretend that they're better. Just to show that they're not who they really are. And with your forgiveness up front, I'm going to just say this. A lot of times we come to church with the mask on. We do. Because we're afraid that people will judge us if we really show who we are. And that is a sad thing. Because what we need to be concerned is, we need to be concerned what God is thinking about us. And we need to be reminded that His perfect love will not reject you, no matter how we are. His perfect love will still embrace you. His perfect love will still surround you. His perfect love will still motivate God to put His hand upon you and to guide you. But it's the reality of human beings. Because we're looking for love in the wrong place and the wrong way. He needed to find, because everything he had been going through, he needed to say that sense of security from God. And so I want to share with you some reasons that the scripture tells us why God's love is perfect love. It's not perfect love that you need. We need to be concerned is what does God think about me? How does God think about me? What does He think about me? Because this is perfect love. I love one of the songs we were singing. Great are Your Lord. Well, the grapes into garden. Oh Lord, there is nothing that I can. How does it, the lyrics go? There's nothing better than You. And you know, as a matter of fact, I have it over here. Let's see. It says, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. And that's what we do when we look for love. I searched the world and it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise. That's what people do. When you're doing good, something that it benefits them, oh man, you're doing great. As soon as you do something that it doesn't benefit them, there's no love anymore. It's all your fault. And it says, this song says, and the treasures that fade are never enough. So you cannot look for love in material things. Then You came along and put me back together. So the one who's going to come along your side when you're having issues in your life, it's God. Because despite of the fact that He knows you so well, He still loves you. That is perfect love. That is perfect love. And that's why I did this. You know, this song says, oh, there is nothing better than You. There is nothing better than You. Lord, nothing is better than You. I'm not afraid. And that's what David was coming to God. David was coming to God because he was not afraid to come to God, because he knew that God loved him with perfect love despite of knowing him so well to the point. God knew details about David better than David knew himself. So he wasn't afraid. And this song that we were singing, it says, I'm not afraid to show You my weakness. So I'm not afraid to take off the mask. I'm not afraid. Why am I not afraid? Because my failures and flaws, you know, Lord, You already know them. You see them all. And You still call me friend. I don't know about you guys, but that gives me some relief. Whew. Lord, Jesus, I don't need to pretend with nobody. I don't need to pretend. Oh, but You're the pastor. I'm another human being just like You. Let's get our mask off. And let's be who we are. And let's work in getting to know the Word of God. And getting to know our God. And getting to know that our God loves us with perfect love, even though He knows every single detail about us. And that is, there's a few reasons that the Word of God, and we're just going to see five of those, but there are more than those. There's more than five. The first reason that I want to share with you is that God's perfect love chooses to love you just as you are. Remember that song, Come Just As You Are? Come Just As You Are. God's perfect love chooses to love you just as you are. A lot of times we have prejudice with people. In other words, we have preferences. And we all do. Nobody's safe from that. We judge people according to the way they look, how they dress. We have prejudice. We have prejudice with people because, you know, we judge everything according to our own standards. And God doesn't care about that. He welcomes you just as you are. I remember in one of my first church plants, my first church plant, actually Josue and Evelyn were part of that church. I remember there was a guy who came in to a Bible study. And he didn't want to come in. He was in the parking lot outside. This is when we were in the first building. It was a small building. We were not in the big building because we were barely planting the church. And He didn't want to come in, but he finally, people convinced him to come in. He sat in the last row, kind of like where Lulu is right there. In that corner like that, he sat there. And I remember he was just like with his head down. And I can smell, because the room was small. And I can smell alcohol. And I'm teaching the Bible study. We were going through Ephesians. And I remember as we were going through Ephesians, we finished the Bible study. He got up and went outside right away. But I went and catch up with him and just, you know, ask him how he was doing. He said, "Pastor, I'm just a little embarrassed because I didn't know I was going to come to church, but here I am. I'm in church. But I think you know that I'm drunk, right?" And I say, "You've been over trying to behave so well, you've been overdoing it, that I know you're drunk." And he said, "Yeah, I'm really sorry about that." I said, "There's nothing to be sorry about. There's nothing to... I'm not telling you go get drunk, okay, and come to church. I'm telling you what happened that day." So he comes back on... I said, "You know, God..." And here's what I'm trying to say. A lot of times, we judge people like that. God loves them just as they are. It is by hearing the word of God that people will grow in faith. Faith comes by hearing what? Hearing of the word of God. How else some people are going to listen to God's word if they don't come in? Come just as you are. I don't care. I care that I'm going to share the word of God with you, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do the work. I'm not the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in your heart that will make those transformations that need to happen in your life. Not me. I'm just a communicator. The Holy Spirit will do the work if the Holy Spirit is in your heart. Once you give your life to the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. Me is just to communicate His word. And then when you get the word of God and you hear and you let the Holy Spirit transform that area in your life, things are going to change. So with this man, he came back on Sunday. And he was faithful from there on. Well, a couple of years later, I sent him to seminary. Right now, he's the one who replaced me in that church, and he's the pastor of that church. His first time there, he was drunk. Who in the world was going to think that he was going to be the pastor of that church? And he's still pastoring that church after 28 years. God chooses to love you just as you are. And when you want to bring, if you want to ever invite somebody to church and they tell you, "How should I go dress?" However you want. But what are people going to say? People aren't going to say anything. You got to see, Eddie always wears his shorts. Where's Eddie at? There he is. Tom, too. The other Eddie, too. Vet, too. And then we'll be making a list of people. They're wearing shorts and sandals. And you worry. And these are some of the elders. And you worry about how you're going to come dressed to church? God wants you, and God wants for you to understand in your heart, He loves you so much that He loves you just as you are. The transformation is going to happen as the Holy Spirit works in your life. But let's meditate on this a little bit. You know, in verses 1 through 6, 1 through 4, it says, "You have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise." So in other words, you know my actions. You know my thoughts. You know everything. Everything, Lord. You know everything about me. And despite of knowing me so well, you still love me. You still embrace me, says verse 5. And such a knowledge. I mean, even David said that, "I cannot understand how you do it, Lord. You love me so much despite of me. All my imperfections, how sinful I am. You still love me." And he says in verse 6. Look at what it says in verse 6. Let's go one more slide. Let's go to the next one, David, please. And he says in verse 6, Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. You know why it didn't make sense to David? Because we as human beings, we want love to make sense. And the love of God doesn't make sense. Why? Because we look for love as conditional love. We look for love with conditions. God doesn't love like that. God loves you and His perfect love. And it's hard to understand. How do you love me if you know what kind of person I am? God's perfect love will find you no matter where you go. Try to run away from God. I challenge you. Try to run away from God. You're going to end up in the hospital like I did over 35 years ago. I knew God wanted to deal with me, but I didn't want to listen. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to make an excuse for this, an excuse for that. God put me in the hospital before I turn my life back to God. God will find you. That's His perfect love. I mean, wouldn't you go after your kids? If you know your kids are in trouble, if you know your kids need you, wouldn't you go after them and do everything you can to try to help them? Because you love them so much, right? You love them so much. And so God says, you know, verse 7 through 12, He says, where can I go? Lord, I can't get away from You. There's no way I can get away from You. I cannot get away from Your presence. Even if I'm in the heavens, You're there. If I'm in the grave, You're there. I can't get away from You. So I can assure you one thing. God loves you so much that He will not let you get away. He will not let you get away. Even when I try to hide from God, when I have failed. You know, those are the moments when we try to hide from God. When we fail. Doesn't that happen to you? Don't you? Let me say, so, since we're taking off our mask, right? Oh, pastor, don't do that. I like doing that. Doesn't it happen to you that when you sin, when you know something, knowing that you were conscious of what you were doing, and then you got to pray after what you did, don't you feel embarrassed in front of God? I do. I'm like, Lord, how do I even talk to You? I know I wasn't doing what I was supposed to. I know I wasn't thinking what I was supposed to be thinking. Doesn't that ever happen? Don't tell me. Hide it. But it happens to me. And I'm sure it happens to all of us. A lot of times we got to come before God and we're so ashamed of ourselves. And we're like, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I did. So hard so many times to be able to open up your heart with God like that. Because we want to play the perfect role. We want to be liked by people. We want to be loved by people. That's not going to happen. God's perfect love is the love that we need to experience in our lives. Number three, God's perfect love will guide you. In moments of need, when you need guidance, when you need when you need to be guided by, in making those important decisions in your life, God's love will guide you. That's why in verse 10 of the same Psalm 139, it says, even there, even if I try to hide, if I try to go away, if I try to hit myself, even there, Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You're not just going to guide me, but You're also going to sustain me. You're going to hold me. The reason we're still alive, the reason we are here, the reason we have another chance to experience the perfect love of God is because God's right hand has been holding you all this time. Believe it or not, you're not here just coincidence. You are here worshiping with us today because God's right hand has hold you fast. He has protected you. How many times you could have lost your life? How many things could have happened to you before? And we're still here. Psalm 32:8, which is one of my favorite psalms. It says, the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. His perfect love will give us the instruction and will teach us the way we should go. We just got to listen. And we got to be willing to listen. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. See, with my loving eye on you, I will counsel you. I will tell you. I will teach you. Number four, God's perfect love drives out our fears. God's perfect love drives out our fears. You know, especially after COVID, have you noticed that one of the things that people experience a lot in their lives is fear? It's a lot of fear. A lot of fear. And fear expresses itself in different ways. Fear can have a profound effect on a person beyond just the triggering of insecurities and dependency on others. You know, the reason a lot of times people feel so insecure, the reason people codepend on others, they become codependent, it's because of fear. The love of God, the Bible says, the love of God drives out the fear that we so much experience in our lives. Look at what 1 John, let's go to 1 John. Let's go to the next one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in what? So let me tell you something. If you are convinced that a person you are with loves you, are you afraid of that person? Of course not. Are you afraid that person is going to do something wrong? Of course not. Because love, there's no fear in love. That's why when people are in relationships that are abusive relationships, and there is fear, a lot of times whoever, whether it's the man or the woman who experienced that fear, they experience that fear for other reasons, but not because there's real love. They experience fear for other reasons. Because there is no fear in love. Here is what perfect love does. But perfect love, which is the only love of God, perfect love of God drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear is the result. Fear results in limiting behavior. A lot of times we limit ourselves because we are afraid of something. Fear results in physical problems. Heart rate increases, sweating, trembling, shortness of breath, and even panic attacks. It's the result of fear. When somebody has these panic attacks, it's most likely because of fear. Stress, anxiety, negative thoughts, a pattern of negative thoughts, isolation and withdrawal, impact on relationships, impact on decision-making, loss of opportunities. Fear can prevent individuals from pursuing the goals God wants you to pursue. But if you experience the perfect love of God drives out these fears. Isn't that beautiful? If I experience the perfect love of God, I shouldn't be afraid because I know He knows me well. He knows every detail of me. He knows every hair in my head. He knows everything I need. He knows how He's going to take care of me. So why should be afraid? Why should I be afraid? God's perfect love drives out our fears. And number five and last, God's perfect love will not change. Well, Pastor, but what if I do this? What if I do that? Well, try not to do it. Do your best. Don't go do it. Just like, oh, I'm just going to do it because the perfect love of God is going to love me anyways. No. If you do it purposely and you do it without caring, that means that perfect love of God has, you have not experienced that perfect love of God. But when you experience the perfect love of God, despite of who you are and how you are and our mistakes and our sins, God will not change. You know, it's us who change. You agree with that? We change. We stop doing the right thing. Then God says, I will not change. I already told you, if you do the right thing, I will bless you. If you do the wrong thing, I will give you consequence. I'm not going to change. I'm still going to love you. It's us who change. We change our ways. But God said in Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 10, through the mountains, though the mountains move and the hills shake, my love will not be removed from you. God's love is not going to be removed from you. That's amazing. That's why He loves us just as we are. So I want to finish by saying, what does God expect from us? If we have experienced the perfect love of God, this is what God expects from us. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. It says, what God says, what I expect from you guys is that if I love you with this perfect love, what I'm expecting is for you to love one another just as I have what? Love you. In other words, your love is not going to be perfect, but you got to try to do it as well, to do it as much as God does it. Love yourself just as much I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. In other words, if love, God's love has been so perfect to us, then we are responsible to love others despite of their imperfections. Yeah. Despite of their imperfections, you got to love that person that God has blessed you with. Let love be the motivation to help others when they're hurting. Let love be the motivation to help others find their way back to God. Let love be the motivation to help others overcome their fears. Don't judge them. Don't judge people. Just let love motivate you to help them overcome their fears. Don't let anything change the love that you should have for others. This is what God wants for those who have experienced the perfect love. It says in the Bible, let's go to the next slide. We have experienced His love through His compassion and mercy. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never ends. And look at what it says. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Every morning when you get up, you receive a new balance in your account of mercies. And God says, here you go. The mercies from yesterday, they're done. The new mercies are here for today. Enjoy them. I will have mercy means we are guilty. That when we make a mistake, when we sin, when we do what's not right, and we ask God for forgiveness, He will have mercy on us and He will allow us to be forgiven because we ask for forgiveness. Let's be compassionate and merciful also to others. Let's just start in our homes. And I want you to think about this. There is nothing we can do to make God loves us more. You know, no matter what you do, oh, I'm trying this, I'm trying that, I'm doing this, I'm doing... No, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. God's love is perfect. So if you've been looking for love in the wrong places, you know where to find it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your mercies, Lord. We are so glad that we are yours. We are so glad that we don't have to hide ourselves behind pretensions, behavior. We are so glad that we don't have to have a mask on. Because no matter how big our mask is or how much we try to disguise ourselves, you know every single thing about us. Every single thing, you know it. There's nothing you don't know about us. And so we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, if we have failed at any point. If we have failed at any point, Jesus, to understand and to receive and to accept and to experience your perfect love. But also, we know that you're expecting from us to love others as much as you have loved us, we're supposed to love one another. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.